I'm looking today at God's core promises. I want you to see this. It was some time ago that I actually saw what this was, and I didn't. It kind of just grabbed a hold of me. I didn't understand this. I got to actually doing a little research into what the Jewish people do at Easter. So this is kind of like a beginning Easter sermon, even though we're a little bit away from it right now. But I want you to see. I want you to see what I've discovered. We traditionally. I don't know, I wasn't brought up in church, so I didn't know anything about this, but if you traditionally were brought up in a church service and you took communion, what we normally do and what we still do here is we give a little piece of bread, so we break bread and we take the bread and then we have one cup of juice, you know, some people put a little more in there, I don't know, but might help preaching, hey, who knows? But they give you one cup of juice, and that's the communion service. The bread represents his body, and the juice represents the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's our traditional celebration of communion. We're asked by our God to do that in remembrance of him. But the Jewish people don't really do it that way. And if you look in Luke's gospel, over there where they start talking about the Last Supper, that there's a number of times that the cup is mentioned. It's mentioned more than once. I don't know why that never intrigued me. I never heard about that. But I got to looking at what a guy told me about the way the Jewish do it. The Jewish people don't use just one cup. They use four cups. So I was so taken by that, that they actually use four cups. What's the reason for them using four cups? And it's all based on promises that God made to them in the book of Exodus that we're going to get to in just a little bit. They celebrate the Passover celebration, the Jews do, with those four core promises that are found in the book of Exodus in chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. I think this. Sometimes we just take things and accept them for what they are and just go on. You know, you probably heard me say this. The worst reason for doing anything is do it because we've always done it that way. You know, I always. Why do we do it that way? Why do we start doing it that way? And that may be the best way, but I don't like to do things for that reason. And so I was really intrigued by how the Jewish people do this. You know, and I think I'm going to say this. I probably should say this, but I'm going to. There are a lot of people, and I think there's a lot of them sitting in this room that they get to a point where we say we go to church, but I want more than that. Thank you. I want more than that. There's more to it than just coming to church on Sunday and listening to a message and doing this and doing that. There's more to it. Got to be more to it than what traditional church is showing us. And we want more than that. I sat over there just a few minutes ago watching what I thought was a worship service, but we weren't, you know, if, let me just say this. If you worship just a few moments ago, like it was the last time you'd ever have to worship, it would be the last worship service before you're gone. Would it look like that? God, I hope not. I hope not. Because you know what? God of this universe has promised us things. The promises are still on the table for us. They're still there. He made them for his people. But lo and behold, we've been grafted into the family tree. Paul tells us in Romans that we're now grafted in like an olive tree. That we're grafted in. We're just like all the promises that God made to his people. They're now made to us. More than 3,000 years ago, God made this promise to the captive people in Egypt. They were his people in Egypt. He made this promise. And I want you to see the promise. First, look at 2 Peter 1:4 that I have in your notes. God has given us this very great and precious promises so that you, through them, may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You can live in a divine nature. And you can also escape the corruption in this world. If you find the promises of God, if you know the promises of God, if you understand what they are, Now he says this. Let's look and see what a promise actually is. A promise is an offer with a guaranteed result. You got your paper there. It's an offer with a guaranteed result. So what I'm trying to make you see this morning and make you understand is there is more on the table for you and for me than we are taking. There's more that we're partaking of. It's there. It's a promise given to us. We don't live our lives according to that promise. But he's got it there for us. He's made the promise. We're going to look and see what they are. But there's more there than we're using that we just not realize. You know, I kind of look at the promise like a sword of the spirit. Because, and I look at this world we live in, kind of like a jungle with vines growing. There's evil everywhere. And evil's growing. And it's coming toward us. And it wants to overtake us. And it wants to get us involved in what it's doing. But God has given us these promises where we can take that sword of the spirit. And when that vine comes to overtake me, I take that sword. And I just kind of cut my way through this life. Because there is no vine as strong as the sword I've got. So I can cut my way through it. I can use God's promises to go through this life. See what he said? You can participate in a divine nature. I can live like God wants us to live. That's a divine nature. And he said, you won't have to worry about the world's evil desire. You just take that sword of the spirit and cut it out of the way. And that's a wonderful thing. Because every one of us has to struggle with what's in this world. And how it's affecting us. We have to struggle with that. Joshua 21:45. I want you to see that. It says, not one of all of God, Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Did you see that? What kind of God do we serve, folks? Every one of them was fulfilled. Not one promise was missed. Every one of them was fulfilled. Well, if you had a friend on this earth and they promised you this, 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 and this, and they fulfilled every promise, that'd be the best friend you ever had. You'd fall in love with them in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? You know? Wives and husbands, what would you do, wives, if your husband did every promise you had? He promised, you promised, you promised, you promised, and fulfilled every one of them. Lord, you'd be so in love, it'd be unbelievable. Well, let's throw that out there on the table. What about Almighty God? How in love will we be? He ain't missed a promise. He's thrown the promises out there on the table. Some of them we know about, some of them we don't. But I can tell you this, he hadn't missed a single one. He hadn't failed to come true in a single promise. It's all out there for us if we just decide to accept it and take it. Now moving along, Hebrews 6:17-18 in the Message Bible. I want you to see this. And this got a little crazy language in here. So in the Message, he says, when God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word. A rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God. God can't break a promise because that's who he is. He's a true God. He's a God that's faithful to us. He will never break a promise to you ever. That's the kind of God I want. How about you? I got one. I want to go to him, get on my knees and pray. And I know when I pray to him, hey, he hears it and he's got promises for me. And it's not, if I hadn't used the promises, it's not because of him. It's because of me. It's because I hadn't looked for them. I hadn't claimed them. They're there because he promises that to us. So there are three things about promises that I put down there for you that I'm going to go right quickly through those. These things about, obviously, I need to know his promises. I need to know what his promises are. How do I find out? We read this book. His promises are all in this book. The Bible is a book of promises. That's what it is. Now, I put there in 1 Chronicles 17:19. It says this, O Lord, for the sake of your servant and according to your will, You have done this great thing and made known all these great promises. Now, I want you to see that made known. Made known all these great promises. God didn't hide any of them. They're not where you can't get them. They're all exposed for you. Every one of them. You say, well, I'm missing this one. He must have put it over here. No. It's there. You can find it. It's there. He made them open where you could find them. That's the kind of God we serve. He wants us to know what the promises are. You know, we need to know that. Because for every situation you encounter, you need to know what the promises are. You need to understand, second one, you need to understand his promises. If 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Oh, man. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us by the glory of God. Oh, thank you. Who got that one? That was good. Right on time. You needed help, though. Like I said, just be careful. We might worship if we're not careful. The amen comes from the glory spoken to us by the glory of God. Why can't we get excited about promises? Let me just share. Why can't, if you're in a situation this morning, let's say you got fear. You're fearing something. I've been through this week. I got a fear. I really do. And I've thought about it and I really prayed and I saw this right here. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light. He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You put it, what shall I fear? What situation should I ever be fearful of? I've got God with me. You know, in today's vernacular, he's got my back. You know what I'm saying? I got God with me. I don't have to fear anything. The devil's on your back. Let's say the devil's giving you trouble. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who's in me than he who is in this world. You don't have to worry about the devil bothering you. I hear people sometimes talk about, oh, that's the devil, that's the devil, that's the devil. You don't worry about him. You know? He's just a spot on, he's a fly on the wall. You ain't got to worry about that kind of thing. Romans 8:37, I love this. It said, in all things, God has made me more than a conqueror through him and loved me. We're more than a conqueror. You know why? Because we got to go through the experience and conquer it. Those people that don't go through an experience, they don't know what conquering means. Because we get to go through the conquering and God lets us conquer it, then we are more than conquerors. Because we experienced what we did. Luke 10:19 said, I've been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Nothing by the enemy shall ever harm me. We shouldn't be fearful of anything. If you're in financial trouble, Philippians 4:19 said, God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. If you're sick, worrying about a health problem, Psalm 103 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. But I'm going to praise his holy name, who for my sake forgave all my sins and healed all my diseases. He heals all my diseases. 1 Peter 2:24 talks about Jesus took the stripes on his back. He bore my sins on him. And because of that, I can live righteousness. I have a life of righteousness. Because he took my sins on his back. And by those stripes that he took, I'm healed. I'm healed. He did that for me. I'm healed. One day, all the pain's going away, folks. I can tell you that. It's gone. It's going to be going away. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:20 I put in there. For no matter how many promises God has made, they're yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us by the glory of God. I read that twice. Okay. I need to pursue his promises. Psalm 119 says, your promises have been thoroughly tested and your servant loves them. Aren't you glad that God promised you some of the things he's promised you? We're going to get to some of the promises here in a second and you will be. Psalm 119:148 said, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. Ooh, man. Now you talk about losing a little sleep at night, you know, trying to turn over on the left side and can't get to sleep. Turn back over on the right side, promises of God talking to you, you know. You ever been there? That's the best sleepless night you'll ever spend. You know, God ever woken you up in the middle of the night and said, hey, I got your problem fixed, or you know, you don't have to worry about it anymore going back to sleep. He does that. I hope you've experienced that. That's to pursue his promises. He expects us not to just wait around and say, well, God, everything's still going terrible. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. And I know God's spending a lot more time on me than he does most people because I'm awful and all that. God wants you to pursue him actively. That's what he wants. He wants an attitude saying, God, I know you're greater than anything else I'm facing, and I want you to help me, Lord. And that's what he wants you to do. Now, I want you to look at the God's core promises here. This is where it's leading up to all of this. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. And we're just going to kind of break this down, and I want you to see what the four cups that the Jewish people celebrate with, where the four cup idea comes from. And they call it, they have different words for it that I'm going to use this morning. Those are mine. But they have different words for these promises that are made in these verses, okay? Now, I will tell you this. The Jewish people use the word seder, or cedar, S-E-D-E-R, and it is called the cup celebration. It's the celebration of the Passover by drinking from the cups, the four cups. It's what they call the seder celebration of Passover. All right, now, look with me at Exodus 6, 6 through 7. It says this. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. That's the first one. I'll bring you out. I will free you from being slaves to them. Second one. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and the mighty acts of judgment. That's the third one. And I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you'll know that I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Those are the four core promises that I want us to take a look at just a minute. Just a minute, and then we'll be gone. First of all, he says, I will bring you out. Now, what does that mean? In order for God to do anything with his people that were captive to Egypt, he had to get them away from the Egyptians. He had to get them out where they're supposed to be. He had to get them to the land that he had promised them. They didn't have a place in Egypt. If he had just said, okay, Pharaoh, I'm going to do all this stuff, and my people are going to be free, you leave them alone, they're going to be, I'm going to provide for them now, and they're going to stay right there in Goshen. That would never have worked. God knew that. God knew that he had to get them out of where they were in order to get them free and saved. Okay? That's exactly what God does with you. God wants to get you. A lot of people talk about, well, I got saved. I just don't want to do the same things I used to do with my friends. That's not a bad thing, folks. That's God getting you out. God saves you. He's removing you from what you are doing to what he wants you to do. I could tell you I've been through that. And it's a hurtful thing. Because I thought, Lord, why are they not my friends now? It's because I stand for God. They don't like that. And you may experience the same thing. That's what God is doing, though. That's the first promise. He'll take you out from captivity. You say, well, I don't know anything about this captivity thing. Are you a sinner? Answer's yes for everybody in here. That's captivity. You're held captive to sin. And God says, my son Jesus is the only way out. He's the key. He's the only thing that's ever going to get you out of that. So he said, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take you out of that deal. Now, he says in Titus 3:3-8 in the Message Bible, it wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid, stubborn, dupes of sin, and ordered every which way by our glands. Going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and hating back. That's pretty definitive, isn't it? That Message Bible will get right down to the glands. But when God, our kind and loving Savior, stepped in, he saved us from all that. It was all his doing. We had nothing to do with it. I love that being pointed out, too, because people will argue with it if they did something to save them. He gave us a good bath, and we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life so generously. God's gift has restored our relationship with him and given us back our lives. And there's more to come, to life to come, an eternal life. You can count on this. What a promise right there. He's taken us out of what we were in, and he's given us an identity and a relationship with him. If you don't have a relationship with God, you're not saved. That's what it all points to. That's what it all means. You can be. It's not hard. We can take care of it. I can tell you, we get this so confused, though. Many people, they look and say, well, you know, I want to join the church. And I, you know, I'll tell you, I'll be very honest with you. We don't push church membership here. You know, if you want to become a member of the church, that's wonderful. We'll count you in the membership. But we don't push that. You know, you come here and stay a little while, somebody's going to find out if you're saved or not. And they're not meddling in your business. We want to go to heaven with you. We want you to be with us. And that's every reason why we're doing it. Because God's promise of salvation is still on the table for everybody here this morning. It's not gone anywhere. His promises never run out. He never said, well, there's enough people saved, that promise off the table now. No, it's still on the table. Second promise, he said, I will free you. I will free you. Did you see that up there? He says, I will free you from being slaves. God promises deliverance. God promises deliverance. And I know what you're thinking when you hear that word. I can still see that little old boy on that bridge right now. Better stop going that way. That's what he means right there, I think, is this. Is he saved them and got them to a place. But when they got there, the sin nature was still so deep in them that they were overcome by it. They were saved. But when you looked at them, there was nothing but sin. Do you remember the example? When Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, he comes back down and what does he see? These people were saved. God had got them out of Egypt. Had come through. The sea had been parted. They're down there at the foot of the mountain now. And you know what they're doing? The Bible says all sorts of sin. All kinds of things. They were building calves to worship out of gold. They were doing every kind of sin under the world. And Moses comes down and sees them with the Ten Commandments, and he throws them and breaks them. And they were just, I mean, all kinds of sin. What they're saying here in this promise, this, we're going to celebrate this year, is God not only got them out of Egypt, he got the Egypt out of them. You know, he got the sin nature. He said, that's what got you captive. I'm going to free you from that. You got a freedom now that you can get. That's what he says. Look at Romans 7, 25 through 8, 2 there. He said, so then I myself in my mind as a slave, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ, the law of the Spirit, life set me free from the law of sin and death. Doesn't mean the law of sin and death is bad. It never was. What it meant was we couldn't keep it. But we're now set free from it by Jesus Christ. Now, the last, one of the third promise, he says, I will redeem you. I will redeem you. God promises me restoration. That word redeem means to put something back to its original condition or original intent. That's what that means. Look at Ephesians 1, 11 through 12 in the Message Bible. It says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are. And what are we living for? Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us and had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he's working out in everything and everyone. Man, that's a mouthful. Do you realize that every one of us is unique? There's not another one just like us. God made every one of us the way we were, the way we are. You could look all you want to and say, I wished I looked more like that. Or I wished I could do what they do. You're wasting your time. Because God made you like you are for a purpose. God wants to use you for a purpose. I was sitting here Wednesday night. And I know when I first saw that idea of the little dresses for Africa or whatever, I thought, what in the world? What is that? I had no idea what that was. But let me tell you something. As just a member of this church, one of the leaders of this church, man, I swelled up so much Wednesday night listening to those ladies and watching what they had done and seeing this whole stage covered with little dresses they're going to send to people who have nothing to wear. Now, you say, well, I don't have any special talent to serve Jesus. I ain't got any way to serve God. These ladies didn't say that. They said, we're going to find some way to do it. And they did it. And it was a beautiful example. I mean, beautiful. I can't sew. You know, I like to teach, but I can't sew a lick. But what they did was great. I thought about that. God put them uniquely in that place to serve him. They found a place to serve. That's important. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. He said, I'm going to redeem you. Your relationship is going to be with me now because I want to use you for the sake of Christ. I want to use you. So if you are like you are, don't fret over that. Be who you are because that's how he made you. And that's how he wanted you to be. So make sure that you do that promise. Now look at the last promise, and I'm through here. I will take you as my own people. This is the last promise. God promises fulfillment. Fulfillment. Four promises. God promises salvation. He promises deliverance. He promises restoration or redemption there. And now he says, I want to take you as my own people. God promises fulfillment. You notice, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but in everything God does, he doesn't do it with one person. He does it with a people. You know, when he took Abraham and he said, you know, you're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to be the father of a lot of people. He didn't say, you're just going to be the only one I bless. I'm going to bless your lineage all over. I'm going to do it all. He does that. If you ever look, God always blesses in numbers. He gets a group of people. God calls us out to be his people in this world. You say, I can't be his people. I can't do anything. Yes, you can. Be you. That's all he wants you to do. Be you and add these things. That's why they celebrate. Can you understand why the Jews celebrate the way they do now? You know, all of these promises are important to them. They want to celebrate. Look at John 10:10. I didn't read it. It said the thief comes only to steal and destroy. But I come that they may have life and have it to the full. Not just come and have life and just barely stay alive. No. I came that they may have life, something different than what they have. I came that they're not satisfied with where we are. Let's go different. Years ago, God rest her soul. Amy Smith was in the office back there. She was our secretary. And I walked in one day and I was very concerned that our church was lackadaisical. I said, well, you know, we're not moving. We're not doing anything. She said, what are you talking about? She said, we're having a good number of crowd. And people, you know, Brother Frank, he's preaching good. All, yeah. I said, but we just have gotten so comfortable in what we're doing. We need to move forward somehow or another. We need something. If you look on your bulletin this morning, you'll see a set of steps there. When I came to church that Sunday, I looked on that bulletin and I saw those steps. Amy told me, she says, I did what you said. We move into higher ground. We're always moving higher. That's what we want to do. We don't ever want our church to stay right on that bottom step and say, hey, you know, that's where we are. We're going to take the promises of God and move higher. Keith, if you'll come, get our song ready. I want to ask you this morning, as we close out the service this morning, if you will do a couple of things for me. I want to ask you to be honest with yourself. I want to ask you if you are taking in the promises of God. Do you understand that those promises are for you this morning? And let me say this. If you're sitting here in a crowd this size, it's very, very possible that you're sitting here and you come to church for some time, you wrestle with things, and you're not sure who God is in your life. You're not sure about the relationship you have with Him. You're not sure about any of that. Let me ask you this morning. No one would want to embarrass you. I never would. But let me ask you this morning to be bold enough during this song to step out, come up here and kneel and pray. And we got people that just can't wait to pray with you and do that. So step out this morning and come and pray. It'd be the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. It'd be the best thing you've ever done. You cannot top that. So if you're not saved this morning, I pray that you would come when we give this moment of invitation. And maybe, let me say this, maybe you are struggling in your walk with God right now. Maybe you didn't realize there are more promises on there than you were using. Maybe you've gotten in a hole. Maybe you've gotten in that swag a little bit where you know you got complacent about things. That's not what God wants, folks. I don't believe that. I believe God wants us moving. He wants a celebration. He wants us worshiping. So I want you to look deep in your heart today during this invitation. There's nothing whatsoever wrong in you coming praying for things like that. Let us pray. Father, we ask you this morning, Lord, to move mightily in our hearts with this message, Lord, about the celebration of cups, Lord, for what you have done for your people. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to be grafted into the family tree. Lord, as Gentiles, with Israelites and Jews, Lord, we're one body of Christ because of your son Jesus and what he did on the cross. Lord, you told us if we'll just believe in him, Lord, believe that you raised him from the dead. And Lord, we just follow him. You've told us, Lord, that we're to receive all the promises that God has for his people. And Lord, one day we'll stand and watch in judgment where, Lord, he'll cover all our sins. And we'll be there, Lord, careful to give you all praise and honor and glory because your son Jesus will stand right in front of us, Lord. And he'll take our sins like he did on the cross. And they'll be gone in a sea of forgetfulness. And Lord, we can only do that this morning if we proclaim you as Lord and Savior. We can only do it, Lord, if we can identify in relationship with you. If we don't have a relationship, Lord, we're not there. So, Lord, I pray, prick someone's heart there this morning and let them know that relationship is needed.